Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Go.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, Meeshawn Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show. This evening, my special guest is Urban Outlook. We will be discussing where do Asians stand on Black issues and apprenticeship programs. Thank you for being on my show.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Can you tell me about the history between the Asians and the Black people in America?
Yes. The earliest linkage between Asian and African American can be traced back to the early history of the nation. The manner by which the earliest people were brought here by the Emancipation Proclamation and freeing of the slaves. That means they've been here about the same time as the slaves been here. You know, so we have an early relationship between the Black slaves and the Asians. And at one particular time, the Americans wanted to replace the Black slaves with the Asians and selling over to China and luring the Asians to on the exact same ship that carried the Black slaves. But it just didn't work out like that. I mean, the Asians wasn't slaves. You know, they was bought here on their own free will, you know, by white folks to lure as money, but they was going to enslave them, but they couldn't, you know, they couldn't work as hard in the fields and, you know, like the African-Americans, so it didn't work out, so they was here. But they was looked at just like African-American was as low life. But over the years, if you notice that the Asians have benefited off it, of all the hard work that Blacks have been doing. And this goes on for a long time, you know, when you look back and, you know, thank God for Blacks, because if it wouldn't, it would have been on the Asians. So a lot of times, though, the history go way back, how the Asians have always been blessed because of the African-Americans, because we had to go out there and slave and get beat in the fields. And, you know, they were the first one to consume stores, and Black people had to come and buy from them. But they took help from the white man, too. That's the reason why, you know, a lot of times they stay silent, they stay quiet, you know, they stay under the radar. They don't want to, you know, jump too far left or right. They just want to just, you know, they just want to stay in between, not being seen. But, I mean, we have a long relationship with them. And it goes way back to the, you know, 1800s, you know, Blacks and the Asian population go way back. And, That's what I want to talk about tonight is, you know, where do we stand? Is they going to stand with us or not? You know, so it goes back further that the oppression and other stuff. So that is one of the things that we need to deal with. But as far as the history, you know, we always had a history together for the Asians and Blacks, you know. But they have always benefited off us, you know. We do the hard
and they're still benefiting off of us.
Yes, they're still benefiting off us. I mean, that's just
okay.
You know, I guess that's it. They just lucky like that. But yes, they're gonna predominantly always benefit off of us. You know, they don't have to take the beatings that we have to take. They don't have to take the all the stuff that we have to do. They don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? But they reap the rewards. So,
well, why should Asian Americans care about Black Americans?
Well, they should. They're getting all our money. They should care about us. You know, the Asian community should stand by us, you know, hand in hand. So,
but they don't.
First, let me say that. Yeah, I know they don't, but they should. I mean, you know, they should. First, let me say that the Asian people should all care about where their wealth comes from, which is African American. If all the Blacks go, who is the white man next victim? Asian Americans. They got to fix, you know, they're going to catch that race hate, you know, the Asian. So right now, you know, the Blacks catching it. so they don't have to endure. You know what I mean? The Asians need to stick with us because they got the hair salons, they got the restaurants, they got everything, and they're benefiting from us in every city. I don't care what city you go to. The Asian community is benefiting from African-American dollar hands over fist. I mean, it's just, it does not matter. And for them to hate us like they do, you know, and that's one of the things I don't understand. You know, they don't really speak up for us. They stay behind. Because if you think about it, because they are the next that feel that we are unworthy for the black community. Through its racist group messages, the leaked Twitter, they don't speak up because financial losses or the hate speech from the white community, so a lot of them ain't going to speak up. They just won't speak up, but they sure support blacks. They got rich from blacks' money, but their kids in good college to be doctors, lawyers, you know, et cetera, scientists on black money. But when it comes to the issues of the black, I mean, they don't stick up, but they should. They should be right out there fighting with us. They should be right out there catching hell with us. They should be right out there with their fist up. But
they're not.
No, not like they should. I mean, you go out there, you may get one or two, but you got more whites out there and other races fighting. But the Asian Americans have always come up off the blacks. Always have come up at the blacks. The blacks have always been, damn, if it wasn't for us, the Asians would catch hell. They didn't even think they lucky stars for us. So they would catch pure hell. The white man did them wrong too, but they don't have to catch much flights when they go. The police don't stop them as much. They don't harass them as much. Because we're taking the blood of that beat. We're taking the blood of that whooping. So the Asian Americans, yo, they just, you know, go about their everyday business and despise us. That's why you ever notice
okay.
How, you know, you go ahead.
Okay, I was saying, okay, you know, well, you probably have seen or heard about African-American women going into Asian stores and the Asian men hitting them and beating on them, and then they would turn back around and go to those stores again. What
yeah,
do you think a black person would go back and be mistreated and give them their money?
But that's been going with the generations of African Americans for years. Now, ain't nobody more lenient than us. There's no race more forgiving than us. You know, but that's, you know, that's what we do. But see, that's because they don't respect blacks. An Asian man would have never slapped and put his hands on a white woman like that. He just wouldn't have did it. He just wouldn't have did it. Too much pressure. But guess what? Because they don't respect the race, they don't respect our people, that they're going to put their hands on African-American women, beat them, call them names. But, you know, and we'll still spend our money at their nail shop. We'll still spend our money on their products. And we'll still go buy, you know, everything that we have. And I'm not saying everybody's bad at aging. I'm saying there are some good ones, but that's because they don't respect us. You know what I mean? When you're talking to an agent, I know this for a fact from some of the agent friends. A long time ago, he told me when they wake up, he went to Florida State College, you know what I mean, in Tallahassee. And he told me a long time ago, he said that when they're young, they taught you respect the white man. You're going to respect the white man, but you don't have to respect the black man because he has no power. The white man got all the power. The black man don't, so therefore you don't have to respect them. They're ignorant. They're lazy. And, you know, and he was just an Asian guy that liked the black women, smart black women, but his family didn't like it. But my thing is, I mean, that is what he was taught. So, you know, for us African-American women, they just have to get together and say, you know what, we're going to take our business elsewhere. But a lot of times with the community stores, you know, Walmart, four-way, they don't have cars. They got to catch the sub, the bus. So it's just go on to the local neighborhood agent store and get all your needs and let them do you that. And because you won't catch them in the suburbs like that. You catch them in the inner cities. Florida, Chicago, California, New York, Philadelphia, a lot of places out there, just that's where you can catch them at. And that's where you're going to catch the African-Americans at. You know what I mean? They own everything around there. But they've always getting rich off the backs of, you know, black. And they would always have. And I thought about this a long time ago. If it wasn't for black Asians to catch hell, they wouldn't be rich as they are. that, you know, it's just a lot of things. But I think black women have to say, you know what, either I go online and get my stuff or go somewhere else. And I will say that, you know, black women can own their own health stuff, but a lot of times when blacks own a business that an Asian can own, majority of the blacks will still go to the Asian store, because it's something about that black mentality that, you know, you own something and I own something, but I'm going to take my money to the Asians who don't give a damn about me. I mean, that's just the bottom line. That's just if she can have a black business, she can sell cake, she can sell anything. If the African-American community is, we're going to go support somebody else. You know, be two stores together, you know, selling about the same stuff. We're going to support the enemy, and that's just the way it is. So that's, you know what I'm saying? So we just have to straighten up, you know, don't let our dollars work for us, but either go online and get it from Amazon or whatever products we're going to get, or we're going to get whatever you're going to get. But you have to have, but we want it right now. So a lot of times, and that's the only stores that's next to us is the Asian store. So, and they're never going to respect us. You know what I mean? We buy beer from them, we buy weed, we buy liquor, and the same thing with the Asian, and then the Arabs doing the same thing. So, you know, so we all own that conflict. But like I said, we always have been the whipping boy for the Asians, and they just, you know, because anytime you go somewhere, the police gonna stop you. You're not gonna worry about the Asians. So when we out there protesting and raising hell, they need to be right there, thinking they lucky stars. If it wasn't for blacks, man, we'd be in deep trouble. If it wasn't for blacks, we would be in deep trouble, because they was racist a long time ago too. But they stayed under the radar. Blacks caught hell, and they grew their wealth, grew their education. And, you know, they always like to stay low-key. They don't like to make a fuss. They don't like to bring no attention to their situation. They're just low-key getting rich and getting educated. So
does affirmative action benefit Asian Americans?
Oh, yes, big time. Again, the front of action, you know, again, they blessed again, because whatever, you know, we fight for equality, we fight for affirmative action, whatever we fight for, they automatically going to get it when we fight for it. So whatever we fight for now, even to this day, whatever we fight for now, the African Americans are fighting for now, they going to benefit from it. They can sit back. He ain't got to go out there. He ain't got to get his head split. He ain't got to do nothing. All he got to do is sit back. And from action, so we'll go fight, you know. Corruption, we'll go fight. We'll cry. We'll get on our knees. We'll do whatever we got to do. And they'll just sit back in the house and relax. Whatever bill get passed, it's going to benefit the Asians too. That's just the way it is. They benefit from the same thing we benefit without doing none of the work. That means they ain't got to go out there and rally. They ain't got to go cry and see their kids get killed and see, you know, the funerals and people down the street. But whatever law we pass right now to this day, the police laws we're going to pass from Gray down in Minnesota, whatever laws we pass now is the same laws that they get automatically, affirmative action. So it's going to always be that way. I mean, you know, and it shouldn't be, but, you know, just the way it's set up, it's going to always be there. And for the urban outlook, I'm just asking the aging communities for two things. Don't stay quiet and respect the black community for making you have the American dream of our money. I want you up there crying with your fists up. Thank you. This should be an outrage. The Asians should be out there front-handed saying, you know what, thank God for blacks. Because remember, we came over here about the same time. They were going to be slaves, but they couldn't deal with the harsh realities for whites. So, you know what, we can't use them for that because they don't have the bodies. But they brought them, they wasn't slaves, but they lured them over here to work in the fields for the African Americans. But it didn't work out like that.
That's because they're weak.
Yeah, that's because they're weak and they couldn't handle being out there in the sun all day. They get sick. They couldn't handle, you know, a lot of things. So that was the backup plan. You know what I'm saying? The yellow man was the backup plan. And you go in history how the white folks used to treat them like shit too. S-H-I-T. Same thing, and that's the history. So when you look at that, every time we fought, they just stayed. Even back then when Martin Luther King and four brothers in North Carolina at Woodworth that they fought. They just stayed in the background. We had to go out there, women and kids, we had to get lynched, beat. They just stayed in the background. They stayed quiet. They stayed low key and just got blessed.
You have a caller.
We get, they get.
You have a caller.
Okay.
Hello.
5573, you're on the air. Anybody else that have a comment or statement, press 1. You're on the air, 5073.
Okay. I still say that the Asian Americans are mimicking the white people. They're the root of everybody's evil. And how we treat each other, they also see that too. And they don't think that we respect ourselves, so they don't either. And I think not only should we not buy from them, we should not buy from the white folks either. We need to step out of our bodies and look at the situation and say, hey, if black people would put their money in one spot, we would have the third largest income in the world. And we don't seem to look at that. We think we got to look good. We look good with naturals. I don't really like to go into their stores because I refuse to be treated like a slave. And they are pretty nasty to you when you go into the store. They act like you're going to steal the whole store. And I'm looking at the prices. And as far as how many black companies are there out there that you can buy hair from? And then you have to look at where does all the hair come from? So I think it just keeps going around in a circle. If you don't buy it from them and you buy it from a black person, who are they getting the hair from? Somewhere it's going back to one person, and we need to find out who that distributor is, because that's what they do. And I'm not sure it's all, it might be going right back to the Asians anyway. But we can stop people from setting up shop in our neighborhoods. Hey, if they're going to set up a shop in our neighborhood, we should be making them hire black people to run it. We need to get the money back somehow. And we just let anybody set up in our neighborhood and don't do anything about it. I believe in, if I had some black people that I could buy from, I would do that. And we need to market, say they do a lot on Facebook, but they aren't putting the black businesses out there so we know where to go to get whatever we need. So I think sometimes we're going to have to sit back and, you know, we should have our own directory out there, a black directory, to let people know, not just the one that has a shop and they're selling stuff for some white man. We want to sell, buy stuff that's totally black-owned. That's the only way we going to prosper in this world, when we get things for ourselves.
Thank you for that. There is a narrative for what you're talking about. It's called a model minority, and it's used to drive a wedge between the black community and the Asian community by promoting that non-whites can succeed and overcome racism by striving for success, and it's exploited by white people and the white power structure that keeps them on top. So there is a legitimate name they do have out there.
Okay. Yes. Okay. The young lady was
Are
right about what you said about the...
Are any Asian Americans standing up for or standing on Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, it's a few of them out there that's standing for Black Lives Matter. Yes, it's a few of them that are standing for Black Lives Matter. But before we get, I want to get on to what the young lady was talking about the, you know, how they don't respect us in stores. I know, and that's one of the things, before I get on that, they don't respect us. You know, we can buy in their stores, but they don't like us. They don't respect us. And that just comes naturally. Like I said, it's like a lot of times, like she said, it pick us back because they see the stuff that we do online. They see the fights. They see the stuff that we do. They think it's dumb. They think it's stupid. You know what I mean? So they not don't. They don't respect us. You know what I mean? They don't want the Asian women to date us. Asian people to date blacks. And so sometimes, you know, you do. You know, you got like Tiger Woods and a few other ones out there. But, you know, like a lot of times, like Tiger Woods and the football player from Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, they get separated from the family. Once you have that black baby in your family, you're Asian, you no longer, majority of the Asian family let you go, so you're on your own. Like Hines Ward, you know what I mean? His mom was Asian, dad is black. So when that happened, you know, his mom had to raise him by herself, you know what I mean? Because then the Asian community didn't want to have nothing to do with him. Even though he got to be a millionaire and his mom was fine and Tiger Woods' mom doing fine too. But like I said, they just don't respect us. And I think they never will until we get together stores, you know, and until we get our own stores, our own hair, and start working together. See, first of all, blacks have to learn to work together. You know, we got jealousy on our mind. We got this, you know, little trivia stuff we argue about. And then when we do own something, it don't last long. So, you know, and then you got, even if you got, you know, just too much, you know, I just think the black community just has to have the right mind frame to work together on issues and say, hey, we really got to do this for us. And so, you know, when you do a big hair store, but I think a lot of the hair products probably do come from China. So they got a leg up there, you know, but it's always been rough. But, okay, what question you was asking for again, I can get back to.
Are any Asian Americans standing up on Black Lives Matter?
Oh, yeah, there are a few that are standing up for Black Lives Matter. There are a few I'm standing up for Black Lives Matter. You got the name of, they're out there in Boston, standing up for Black Lives Matter. Several members of the Asian Community Commission used a statement to support the Black Lives Matter. Some did not because they have white privileges and are anti-black. Some Asian Americans hate blacks. Some don't. So, but, you know, we must all work together for the common goal of equality. And I think that's, you know, what we need to do. I think it's come back to equality. But for the agents, but it's not enough. Like I said, it's not enough. Matter of fact, you got more whites out there than you got Asians, but it should be the other way. Asians should be out there raising hell. Like I said, there's a few, and there's always going to be a few, but it's not the majority of them. Because like I said, they like to stay low-key. They don't want to, you know what I'm saying, they like to stay low-key. They don't want to upset the white man. They don't want to do nothing like that. They just want to stay because everything's good for them. You know what I mean? They don't have to worry about being harassed. They don't have to worry about, they don't want to bring that attention to them. You know, they don't want to upset, so they'll be like, you know what, I'm going to stay in the back. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no heat on us. There's no heat on us. We're going to be quiet. We're going to shut up. We're going to keep getting the African-Americans money. You know what I'm saying? Let them fight. Let them go out there and get their head bust or do whatever they have to do, and we've been doing that. You know what I'm saying? But it's time that we have to, you know, it's time that we should put them on blast. So they should show their hand. Okay, but show your hand then. And every Asian American store should have Black Lives Matter. Don't support them. Because we're in the fight for them. Everything we fight for, they benefiting from. But they're not fighting. They're not going to go out there and they're going to sit home in their suburbs and do their thing. And we got to go out there. We got to go out there and grind, get beat on. Back in the old days, we got to get the dogs on us, the water holes. We had to fight. Get killed, get lynched. You don't see too many Asians getting lynched, but they was out there then. Whites hated them too, but they stayed under the radar. Blacks gonna fight. We gonna stay under the radar. We ain't gonna say too much. We ain't gonna do too much. All we got to do is let the Negroes go out there, They're getting their money. They're getting killed for us. We just going to stay low-key. And we ain't got to do a whole lot, man, out here. All we got to do is just stay low-key, and they going to catch hell for us. And we still going to get their money. We still going to disrespect them. We still going to do the – and Asians, if you go to San Francisco and some New York, Asian Americans, now they want to be R&B singers, rappers and all that. Even in China, they love, you know, the black Kush and all that. They just don't love us. They love our money. They're not going to fight for us. They're not going to go out there and raise hell. You know what I mean? There's thousands of them out there in New York. They should be raising through hell. They should be hands down, shutting down little China. Chinatown should be shut the F down and say, you know what? They fight as our fight, but they won't do it. So if somebody can tell me how we can make them do it, that's, you know, that's the problem I have. You know what I'm saying? Like, Asian people should have Black Lives Matter everywhere. Matter of fact, every nail shop should have Black Lives Matter, because you're getting the majority of our money.
I have a question for my listeners. And I want you to call in and give me your opinion. Okay, the calling number is 516-531-9540 and press 1. Okay, what if the tragedy of George Floyd or Mike Brown or Trayvon Martin befell an Asian American? Would you stand up for them?
You said if they was Asian American?
Right. Like, if a tragedy that befell George Floyd or Mike Brown or Trayvon Martin, if it happened to an Asian American, would you, as black people, stand up for the Asians?
Honestly, I think I would, but it has to be, you know, I'm not going to speak for everybody, but I'm going to speak for me. I think I would. But when I look back at the history of stand for me, you know what I'm saying? Not, if they stand for me on the issues, then I faster can stand. But right now, I would have to be like, that's a type, because, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, if nobody stands for you, how can I stand? If you didn't stand for me, how can I stand for you? You know, but the Asian Americans, one thing about it, if that was an Asian, they would have came out and drove. But
well,
that's a hard one. That's a very hard one.
Point blank.
So everybody, yeah, okay.
516-531-9540. Press 1 if you have a comment. No, I would not stand up for them. They're racist. They're disrespectful. And
ooh,
I don't give a damn what happens to them.
Yeah, that's harsh. But like I said, you know, they don't.
Well, you know what? Life is harsh.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They don't too much stand for black issues at all. You know, they should. You know, we should be in a lot of fights hand in hand, but they won't hand in hand fight for us. They won't, you know, fight against us or, you know, disrespect us. But, you know, it's just one of them things where, you know, blacks just been getting, blacks have always had a raw deal, you know, in America, you know, and I'm saying that.
For you. Why would a black person want to come together with an Asian?
Honestly, I would say that a black person can come together because we can be stronger unified than we could apart. You know, we come together as one to be stronger, to make more of a presence, you know, to make this a stronger fight. You know what I mean? That's the only way I would look at it. If we come together, but when you come again?
I mean, I personally don't trust them.
Yeah, that's true. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you sometimes you, yeah, I don't, like I said, the Asian and black community have always been one of non-trusting, disrespectful. So it's one of them things that, you know, we would have to go work on. You know, to see where they lie with the community. But I know for us right now, they're not in the fight with us like they should be. You know, they're not fighting hard as they should be for us, with us, standing with us, saying, hey, you know what, Michael Brown, all these people that died, you know, we need to fight together to make a stronger presence. You know, you sit by in the background, you do the dirty leg work, and they'll come up front, and they're still going to benefit. So I'm saying,
well,
it's African-American.
More like, to me, like, if you do that as a black person, you're still being forgiving, just like you do the white people when they harass black people and terrorize and oppress them in all types of matter. So for a black person to do that, they would have to be a forgiving person. And if you keep forgiving people from doing you wrong and harming you, they're going to keep on doing it because they know you're going to keep forgiving them.
That's true. That is mostly true. But, you know, let's think about our history. Be honest.
No, it's somebody else's history because I'm not forgetting.
Okay, well, I understand that. I understand that. But what I'm saying is, on that issue there is, that's true. But you got to understand, when you, who been more forgiving than blacks? You got to tell. I'm saying the Black Wall Street, they told us.
I agree.
You know what
I
mean?
I think that's a problem. I don't think that's a good thing. I think that's a bad thing. Because they're taught, oh, forgive your enemies. Love your enemies.
No, I understand.
But the enemy can do whatever they want to you, and you can forgive them.
You have a caller.
I think that's the problem.
You have a caller.
Okay, caller.
5073, you're on the line.
Thank you. I'm not sure I agree totally with you, Bashan, about not forgiving them. You can forgive anybody. Don't mean that you are succumbing to them, but I'm at the point to think
that this world should
be coming where everybody is. We said we wanted to be treated the same as everybody else. Now, if you can't forgive somebody and you say because you can't trust them, you don't have to trust them. You can watch them. And if they've done something to you already, you know when they're about to do something to you again. But I think that unless we learn to forgive somebody else, we're going to always have the same problems that go around in a circle. Like the president. He sleeps, his bed partners are his enemies, and he's too stupid to realize it. I wouldn't trust the Japanese. They got Pearl Harbor against us, and they're going to figure out one day how to repay us back. But some people, you just have to watch. My mom told me I could have white friends, but I should always remember that when it comes to one of them with some one of their races, they're going to let mine go. So I know what to look for, and I know how to deal with it when it happens because I've been in places like that. But I let them know it's not going to work. You're going to do the right thing. Unless nobody's going to benefit. But sometimes we're going to have to step back and decide who's going to lead, because it sounds like to me that if we don't come together ever, we're always going to have the same problem. And I'm on the mindset that we need to iron out these differences. That's what they are marching for. They aren't marching out there just to be black. They're marching because they want equality.
True.
In everything, not just to be the top race, because if you try to be the top race, you're going to have a problem anywhere, because everybody's going to try to take you down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, black people were originally on top. And they, in the end, will be back on top again.
Yeah, when we stop being jealous of each other, and
cool.
Thy brother,
my main problem.
Thy neighbor, everybody's your neighbor. And if you think you get something for yourself and don't want to share it with your neighbor, you'll have a problem. We got to learn, number one, how to trust each other and help
it's
each
true.
Other. Like when I lived in Pennsylvania, we had a group said, we do not need the banks to loan us money to open up a business. If black people could get their little act together with each other, say, for instance, we wanted 100 women each to give $1,000. That's $100,000. You can go and start your business with $100,000. But the fact of the matter is they're going to fight for who's going to be in charge instead of letting one person at the – everybody can't be at the top. 100 women cannot be at the top. But there are ways that we can get things done if we could come together and stop being jealous of each other. And see, the white man keeps that, he keeps dividing us. That's that old slave master rule. Divide, you can conquer. We need to stop being the division within ourselves so we can stop them from conquering us.
Well, I think if black people stand up and fight instead of being weak and on their knees praying when they should be fighting, I think they would do a lot better.
I think I go with the young lady visions. Jealousy, us working together. You can do more when you work together than you could divided. And I understand what you're saying, how we should fight and not forgive, but sometimes you, for the greater good, sometimes you got to forgive. You know, sometimes you got to say, hey, you know, we in this thing together. You know, and for us blacks, you know, working together, what the young lady said is true. If jealousy is
black
envy,
people have always been forgiving. And it has not worked.
Okay. So,
because if it did,
okay.
They wouldn't be still protesting. They were protesting and marching in the 60s, and they're still doing it today. So obviously that did not work. And it's still not working if you're still doing the same thing, trying to get the same results they were trying to get back then. 50
okay,
years
so
later.
Okay. Okay, so your vengeality, so basically you're saying let's just raise poor hell, let's go out here and kill and fight, let's just go out here. And, okay, now when you did all that right there.
You know what? I have to go with Malcolm X's, by any means necessary. That's how I'm going to put it. By any means necessary. Whatever that is. They're killing
you. You have a caller. Caller 1233, you're on the line.
Hi, yes, I have a comment as far as how I see black people and your praying comment. I disagree that black people can pray because white people pray, Asian people pray, they all pray. The difference is white people might handle their business different, Asian people might handle their business different versus black people because all these races we're talking about, we all pray. So you can forgive another race. That doesn't mean that you have to talk to someone. That doesn't mean that you have to associate with them or even buy from their business. Personally, for me, forgiving someone doesn't mean I have to be around them, but it gives me a peace of mind. It doesn't give me hate on my mind, and it lets me breathe a little bit. And so even if it's a person I don't necessarily fool with, if they are doing something or even if they're doing something that I want to do, it doesn't give me that hate. Still doesn't mean that I have to support them. I can do my own thing and forgive without being mad. And I feel like that is one thing that's wrong with black people that they don't know that they can forgive and move on without the hate and getting that peace of mind so we don't have so much hate in our community.
Spot young lady.
Thank you, Colin.
Spot
but I don't
young lady.
Agree with everything you said.
She has some valid good points to me. Valid good points to me. But like I said, you know, but you can't go around here hating and mad with everybody and raise the hell and fight. Because
who
said
I hate? I'm black first, all day, every day. So I'm just
like
putting
said,
it out there.
I understand that. I understand that. But I'm just saying, you know, for the African American community and the Asians, I'm just saying for us just to get together and just to be stronger and be more supportive. I'm not saying that, you know, that, like I said, you have to love, but you have to. Sometimes for the greater good, you have to do things that you don't want to do, but still keep your mind and eyes open as you go forward in the fight. But you don't have to be hateful and try to get with everybody. And there are a lot of good people out there that's fighting. So, you know, like I think I can't hate a white person because I've been in some situations where whites helped me out, and I was the only African-American, you know, in small towns, and I had a blowout one night at a redneck club late one night. You know, I was surrounded by whites, rednecks, but they helped me out, ain't harmed me. I'm still alive to this day, so I can't say everybody, you know, bad or everybody this. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, to be honest with it, I've been robbed at gunpoint by blacks. I've been robbed at gunpoint by white guys. You know what I mean? So, stuff stolen from black. No white ever stole nothing from me. Like I said, we don't have to hate. Like I said, I just put like this right here. For the ones that want to work in the African American community, let's work together. For the ones who don't want, they don't have to. For the greater good.
You,
know
you have another caller,
5073,
you're on the line.
Okay. Michonne. You still can have a fight, and it does not have to be physical. We need to fight.
It doesn't have to be physical.
Okay, you're acting like we got to go out there and jump somebody or beat them up and beat them down. We can do that mentally.
That's not what I said. I mean, there's things people can do strategically.
Yourself.
I didn't say, did I say go out there and fight? But if it came to it.
No,
I'm not going back
we
down,
still
probably.
Need to fight, even though we can forgive somebody and fight their
okay,
actions.
Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not, period. Y'all can forgive if you want to. That's your business. But I'm not. At this time in my life, hell no.
You'll be
so
miserable
y'all
want to
be forgiven,
for the rest of your life.
Do it. But me, no. I don't love nobody who don't love me. And I sure in the hell will not love an enemy. So I hope you got that
stop
part.
Stop buying
what
their
else?
Products.
What else?
Okay, so. Okay. Okay. So, like I said, everybody has their own opinion. You can still say what they want to say on the radio station, so everybody got their own opinion. I believe, you know, we can work together. You don't, you know, everybody have their own opinion. And that's one thing. In America, everybody can have their own opinion. Everybody can always agree. But,
see,
you know,
that's
we can
another
agree to
problem that I have. Black people act like they can't do things on their own. They have to include others. And then other people take over, infiltrate whatever they're doing. And it sounds like they're weak. You all are sounding like a black person cannot stand with other black people and be strong, that they need others to come in for them to be strong. That's what it sounds
no,
like.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
No, we need to
what,
work with them.
What I'm saying,
yes, that's what it sounds like.
Okay. Well, let's clarify this. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying if blacks
black
can be strong.
Can
I'm saying if blacks, you're talking about blacks, and you're talking about that Asians. I'm talking about we in this fight for them. I'm saying for us to be a stronger fight that's the reason why we need to come together, because we already up fighting. They in the background. I'm saying, what they bring their ass up with us to fight this fight of faith. So we won't have to do it by ourselves.
Because they're not going to, because you're going to do it like you always do, and get hurt. And they will sit back and watch it.
I understand that. That's what I'm saying. We need to call them out. Show their hand. That's all I'm saying. They need to show their hand. Which way you going
to
go?
Just because you tell one of them to show their hand doesn't mean they're going to show their hand.
I understand.
Black people
need to be strong
and unify with each other. That's the problem.
I'm not
they always, that's why, you know what, it sounds like the handout mentality. I can't do nothing unless somebody is helping me, somebody other. I can't get nowhere. I won't have anything.
No. That's not true, because you ever look at affirmative action.
But that's what it
every laws
like.
We made. But every law we ever made, we didn't ask the agents to come. We did that on our own. The bus boycott, all
what
that was on our own.
The
agents never did it. All they did was sit in the background and we're gonna be
reap the benefit
of what we did. All I'm saying is, if we come together, we can be stronger.
Well,
if we come together, we can be stronger. So,
I don't believe we would, because I think they would do something to weaken us.
That's your opinion. Everybody has their own opinion. All I'm saying is, we can be stronger together and show their hand. But like I said, you might be right. Everybody got their own opinion. I'm just saying, I think we should come together on affirmative action, so we can have stronger affiliations together, and not let them just sit back and not let them just do anything. And let them not just, they be just in the line, like, we're just in the bike and we ain't got to do nothing. That's what
okay,
I'm upset about.
What incentive are you going to offer them for them to come to the forefront and fight with you when they're reaping the benefits for you fighting? Why would they join
true.
The fight?
True.
I mean, because
that's
I would... If I was benefiting off of somebody and I didn't have to lick the finger or do nothing, I would let them keep doing what they were doing.
So, and that's the reason why I'm saying right now that, it's time to call them out on it. Like, show your hand. Show your love. I mean, you're getting our money. Be doing the fight. Like I said, if we wasn't there, they'll be next on the list. If the African-Americans weren't here, the Asians would be in America right now taking all the heat. Getting their ass whooped, doing all kind of stuff. If we wasn't here, they was next on the list. Slaves, and they went and got the people from China. That's known history. You can read all day long. The black, then the yellow man. They was next in line. They just couldn't handle the stuff that we can handle. But they was next in line for the abuses, and they was. That's all right. In every old movie, they stayed quiet. They stayed, cowboys used to spit on them, do all type of stuff, just like they did the African-Americans. But they stayed quiet. They stayed out of everybody's way. When they got education, even back then, they owned little stores catered to African-Americans. They stayed out of the way. They stayed low-keyed. And this goes way back. So, like I said, I'm saying, let's call them out. That's all I'm saying is let's call them out.
I don't have a problem with calling them out. But the solidarity thing is another story.
Yeah. And they, like you said, they don't love us at all. So I agree with you saying. I mean, they don't like us. They don't, they don't respect us. They're getting rich from us. They're getting rich. An Asian woman once told me they're getting rich. And they're laughing in our face all the time. And the reason why they didn't like her because she liked the African-American men. And she was an Asian young lady. And, she tell me the same thing. Yeah, and so we used to talk to all the time. Me and her used to hang out. You know what I'm saying? They don't like black. They think we're ignorant. They think all this other stuff. The only thing they like is our money.
Well, I might agree with them on the ignorant part when somebody want to join up with them. Because
All right, you got some callers here.
All right, bring them out.
Okay. 6120, you're on the line.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering, what does hate and holding a grudge have to do with self-independence? It sounds like the host is conflating the two. I don't see how one translates into the other. Like, I can be self-independent and not hold a grudge or hate anyone. Matter of fact, that's a trait that has to do more with Europeans than it does with Africans. That's why Europeans are always in a constant state of war, because that's one of their characteristics, hate and holding grudges. That's why they have so many castles in Europe, because they can't trust each other. They hate each other. So when you go around Africa, all you do is see castles. And that's designed or a function of not being able to trust one another. So they have to build up these things. When you go to Africa, you don't see that. So I was hoping the host could explain more in terms of how self-independence translate into hate and holding a grudge. I struggle to see where they come together.
Okay. First of all, black people are at war, or the oppressors are at war with them, and they don't act like they don't even know it. So far as that goes, we're at war. We're losing the war, but we are at war. I never said a black person couldn't be independent and successful and have their own business, because they can't. But I do not believe that a black person has to join another group to be strong. Because I'll put it this way. If you brought a pit bull, would you mix it with another animal, another dog? No. They only worth something if they're pure.
Well, not necessarily. Hello, am I on?
Yes, they are.
Yes, it depends on what the end goal is.
It's not worth the same if it's a purebred or if it's a mix. It makes it a mutt.
It depends on what the end goal is. Like, if I'm looking for a home dog with some strips.
If the goal was to be weak, mix it.
I don't know. Are you going off into a tangent somewhere that leads to nowhere? I'm telling you, if I'm looking to breed a hound dog with a pit bull because I want some strength and I also want a dog that's able to drive something, then I can breed it. I mean, what straw argument are you setting up? Because hate and holding a grudge. That's not a strength. That's a weakness.
Black people can be strong alone. I don't believe that we have to mix with another group.
That's true. I'm telling you that this is a fact. Hate and holding grudges is a weakness. It's not a strength. So to try and project on the black people, I disagree with that totally. That's not our thing. That's something that comes from Europe, just like gays and LGBT, all that's European stuff. Hate and holding grudges is not a part of who we are. Now, we've learned to grow with that after European colonization. That became more of who we are, but just naturally, that's not who we are. That's a European thing. So you might want to do a little more research and look into where hate and grudges come from. That's out of Europe. That's why they need contracts.
First of all, how do you know
because they
where
don't trust
it
each
came
other.
From in the first place? Because you didn't come
just
from Africa.
You.
I know where
come
you
from
came
Africa,
from.
But the genes come from Africa. I'm just telling you.
I know where you came from.
Well, I'm just telling you. I'm a descendant from something that's far more ancient than Africa, if you want to get right down to it. But the reality is this. That's
right
why white folks always need paperwork. No, I'm just telling you. I get all that, but I'm just telling you. White folks need – have you ever noticed that no other society used paperwork to take care of business or negotiate with each other? White folks always needed to document it with paperwork because they could trust each other. Because all that is a part of their culture. Everyone else is able to coexist somehow, but they don't do that. Matter of fact, Europeans was in 500 years of nothing but a constant state of war. World War II, what it was like. After World War I, it was like a 10-year layover. They went straight into World War II. 5 years after that, they kicked straight into a Korean War. After that, white boys wanted to go over to Vietnam to do some more war. I mean, that's who they are, holding grudges, and that's their thing, hating. Nah, so don't pull us down with that. That's not who we are.
Wait a minute. What do you mean I'm pulling you down?
Well, I'm just saying, hate. I'm just telling you, I never move forward with hate because there's no strength
okay,
in it.
Okay, first of
that
all,
is a, that is a form of weakness.
I don't have to
hate.
Love my enemy. I don't have to love my enemy. And you
no,
think
I never
your
said
enemy
love your enemy. I didn't say love your enemy.
Like
matter of fact, I would tell
you
this. Let me get down to the fundamentals.
Somebody who did you wrong makes you strong. You sound stupid.
No, I ain't even saying all that.
No,
what I'm telling you is that
you do.
The best way, here's what I'm saying. The best way to treat aggression or to handle aggression is always to flee from it. So this whole notion about hate and let's go fight, come on, man, who are we talking to? I mean,
first
what is all that about?
When I said fight for whatever we need or what we should get, it doesn't
but we're gonna do it the MLK way. We ain't gonna try and take rifles up. We saw how that happened with
the
Panthers in Oklahoma.
Okay.
But we ain't gonna take up weapons and nah, you ain't. But you sound like you want to take weapons and go block to block.
This way did not work. You gonna end up dead.
I'm just telling you, you end up dead if you try to go on war with people who would stop. You gonna end up dead if
you
try
they still
nah, you ain't going to take up no arms with white folks and expect to come out on the winning end. You're kidding yourself.
No, you sound weak.
That's the reality.
Like,
you kidding yourself.
Bottom line is, I do not love my enemies, and I stand on it.
But I'm just telling you, I ain't hating no one.
No, so don't you be trying to, because, you know, when this is over, I'm going to call your number.
Oh, I mean, dude, I'm just telling you, the best weapon against aggression is always to flee from it.
No.
So
okay,
you build up your communities to a point where you really, you know, you're able to stand on your own and you don't need anybody. The only relationship we do is like B2B, business to business.
I don't think we should be in solidarity with the Asians.
I didn't mention anything about solidarity with the Asians.
Well,
I understand that. I understand that, but you wanted to go with your arm and shield was hating and holding grudges, and I'm telling you that's the wrong move.
You know what? I don't love my enemies.
Well, nobody said they love anybody on
that.
Here. I'm just telling
you
that
you
nobody said at the same time.
That.
We're not saying that we're going to wake up every day and hold hate in our heart. That's not. You got coached up to be hateful. That ain't something that's.
No,
I'm just telling you. You got coached up to be hateful.
Because you don't know.
Nah, because hate, the only thing hate ends up doing is actually being more corrosive on the person who holds that in their heart than it does on the object, just to be honest with you. So, hate is not a part of.
You use the word hate. I never said the word hate. But, like I
said,
I do not love my enemies.
Well, nobody mentioned anything about loving energies, but I ain't going to, when I see a white person out of the hood,
there ain't no goddamn Asians either. So y'all do what y'all want to, but I'm not doing it.
I mean, that's fine, but find somebody to be in solidarity with. But I'm just telling you,
in solidarity, and they look like me.
I mean, that's fine, but you got people that look like each other in Africa that can't get along.
Fine.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, the reality is, you got people in Africa that look like each other that can't get along. That's why Sudan had to separate.
What don't you think?
You had Sudan, Northern Sudan had to go up there, and the other folks had to go south. I mean, that's the reality. It's plenty of people out there that look like each other and can't get along.
Everybody don't get along. No matter what race they are.
I'm just.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds.